Father, once again, we thank you for the precious word of God that we have, Lord, to share together. We ask you now, Lord, to be our teacher by the Holy Spirit. May he have his will and way in our lives today as we focus upon this thought today and upon your word. God, I just pray, God, that you would just strengthen your children today. Lord, excite us, Lord, about who we are, Lord, and what we can do if we just trust you and look to you. I'm so glad today that we have you to depend upon in this life, and Lord, not the world. So, Father, help us now today in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks we've been talking about God's remedy for a sick nation. We've been focusing on this one verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's a very interesting verse. We said last week, talking about being humble. It's an amazing thing to me how as we look at this verse, God says, if my people shall humble themselves, shall humble themselves. Then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. God doesn't say, if my people who call by my name shall pray, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. He doesn't say, if my people shall confess their sins, humble themselves, seek my face, and all this. But notice he said, first of all, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Then, he says, will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. There's an order here in God's word. God's inspired word is God breathed, and he put it in the order that he wanted it to be in. There's a purpose for God's word to be put the way it is. There's a purpose here for him putting humble first. If my people which call my name shall humble themselves, shall humble themselves. We talked about last week, before God, man is humbled. Because we are created by God. God made us. We said last week that we are, before God, we're humble because we are sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. All of us do wrong every day. And also, as we look before, before God, we know also that we're humbled as because we have nothing to boast about. There's nothing good within us to brag about, folks, nothing whatsoever. It's all because of God that we're here. It's all because of God's grace that we're saved and that we're alive today. I'm so thankful for that today. But God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Why did he put humble first? What's so important about humbling ourselves before God? Even before we pray, even before we seek his face. Why is it so important? Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Psalm 51. We have a good example here, I think, of what God's talking about here. Psalm 51. We know this is a psalm of David. And he says in verse number 17. Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, the sacrifices of God. The sacrifices of who? God. The sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, a broken heart and a broken spirit, contrite heart, is one with deep sorrow. Deep sorrow. David was very sorry for what he did. And he brought it before God. He wasn't sorry that he got caught, folks, but he was sorry for what he did. Is the difference. You know, even as children of God, when we do wrong, we know the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when we confess our sins, we must be doing it with deep sorrow, meaning it from our heart. Not just saying the words, but meaning what we say. Meaning what we say. So we see here, I believe here, God is trying to reveal to us about humbling ourselves as God's children. First of all, humbling ourselves before we can do any of these other things, the other conditions. Notice that he gives us four conditions here and three promises. We notice, first of all, humble ourselves. Number two is pray. Number three is seek his face and then turn from our wicked ways. If we'll do those things, then God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear you. I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. So we see here that the order in which God gives this in 2 Chronicles here is very, very important as we continue with it today. Now, I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We're talking about humbling oneself. Humbling oneself. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. He's not saying I'm going to humble you, but will you humble yourself? If you humble yourself, this is very important. Notice he says here in Philippians chapter 2, we see here a very important thing here about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is the example of humility, of humbling himself. I don't know anybody else I'd rather look at than him, do you? As far as an example of humbling ourselves, being humble before God. You know, I said it requires a divine miracle, folks, to free a man from the love of the world and creating him a love for God. Only God can do that, can change our hearts from loving the world and to love God the way we ought to. It only comes from God because of our nature, of who we are, our makeup. See, what we see here in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, we're going to look at, we see here the essentials in humility as Jesus Christ is our example. Our example. Notice in verse number 1, we're going to begin in verse number 1, Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My, what an example we have here. Christ, the supreme example of humility here. Christ is the very nature of God. We know that. He was God in the flesh when he became a man, wasn't he? He was God in the flesh. And yet he did not change. He did not change his rights as God. He was still God. We also see that Jesus Christ is the very nature of God. He emptied himself and became a man. He laid aside his glory when he came to earth, Jesus Christ did. He became a man. Okay? He laid aside his glory. We see he took upon himself the human nature, like you and I have, the flesh. He took upon that. He humbled himself to the point of utterly dying. He died for you and for me. I don't know of any lower humiliation a person can go through than dying, do you? Than dying. And yet he did that for you and I. He humbled himself. He came obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was so humbled and moved for us. Now, first of all, we see that Jesus Christ humbled himself to the Father, to his Father. We know it was God the Father's will for Jesus Christ to come and die for mankind. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, didn't he? That's all people in the world are lost. And therefore, he came for that purpose, you see. He came to fulfill the Father's will. Excuse me. He obeyed God the Father. Turn back to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Jesus Christ, he humbled himself to the Father. In John chapter 10, look at verse number 17. John 10, 17, Jesus speaking, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my who? Father. My Father. Jesus came, he came and humbled himself to the Father. He obeyed God the Father when he came on the, in this earth to die for you and for me. My, how he humbled himself. Jesus also humbled himself to men. He humbled himself to mankind when he was here. We see he humbled himself to die. He gave his life. The Roman soldiers didn't have to wrestle him and lay him on the cross and crucify him. He gave himself. He humbled himself. See, he humbled himself to come out of a spiritual and eternal world into a physical and a corrupt world to die for you and I. He humbled himself. Folks, we can't imagine. We can't imagine the glory that had Christ was in before he came here. But he left the splendor of glory to come and die for you and I. Take upon himself the flesh of flesh and become a man. He humbled himself to do that. He humbled himself to lay aside his eternal glory and become a man. He humbled himself to take the sins of mankind upon himself and to bear the weight and the suffering of all of it, you and I. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He humbled himself. My, what example we have. He humbled himself to suffer the experience of having God the Father turn his back upon him. My, what an awful thing to do. But he humbled himself to do that for me and for you. For me and for you. So we see Jesus Christ, the example of humility. He humbled himself to become the servant of man. The servant of man. He served while he was here. Look what he did. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He did all kinds of miracles while he was here. He was a servant to everybody when he was here. He humbled himself. He humbled himself even to the degree, the lowest degree of humiliation. Theologians speaking not about the humility of Christ, but the humiliation of Christ many times. The humiliation of Christ. How he gave himself. He became sin for men and died for their sins upon the, about the wrath of God. We see him hanging on a tree on the cross. But you know, there on the cross, he took our sin. Our sin was upon him. He was on the cross, the very embodiment, if you please, of sin. All our sins was upon him, the sins of the world. My sins, your sins, was upon him. And I don't know how, but some way on the cross with our sins upon him, he embraced all the sins of the world and died for every man. Now, how that could happen, I don't know. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But he had all the sins of all the people in the world upon him when he was on the cross. And he died for all one time. He died once for what? All. Once for all is where he died. This is the miracle of God. We must let Christ's humility or his humbleness flow in us and through us. As we look at him as our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, being humble. God said, if my people shall call upon my name and humble themselves. Humble themselves. Why should we humble ourselves? When we humble ourselves, what's going to happen? God's going to hear us, amen? God's going to answer. And God's going to forgive, heal our land if we'll humble ourselves. He says that. I believe that, don't you? This is what this country needs today. It's for God's people to do what God says do. And when we do what God says do, God's going to answer our prayer. And God's going to help this country. But until we do our part, listen, we can forget about Washington doing their part. They don't know what to do. We got instructions from God as what we are to be doing as God's children. And when we do that, we're going to see results. We will see results. We will see results, you see. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Now, let's look at verse number 5. Again, back in Philippians chapter 2, where we were. As we look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. To be humble, to humble ourselves, Christians must be of Christ's mind, His mind. We must have His mindset. We must bear the resemblance to His life if we would benefit from His death. We see, what was the mind of Christ? What was the mind of Christ? If I'm to have the mind of Christ, I got to know what the mind of Christ is, first of all, right? I got to know what that is. I got to know what that is. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Look at verse 21. What was the mind of Christ? What was the mind of Christ? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Notice, leaving us and what? Example. Why? That you should follow His steps. Notice, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Thank God for that. Amen? I was going astray, but now Christ has saved my soul. We see the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. We see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said these words, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. The mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Lowliness. Lowliness. Notice this verse, if you will. Take my yoke upon you. We know here we see, first of all, our decision. Our decision about the mind of Christ. Take my yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. I believe Christ's yoke was His obligation to serve. He was a servant. He was a servant. We have to take that upon us. We have to be servants, folks. We need to be servants. And when we become servants, it's going to change our attitude about a lot of things. We're going to be like Christ, more like Christ, when we're serving Christ, serving one another, doing something for somebody else, being a servant. He says, our decision is to take my yoke upon you, He says. And notice also, our development is to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. We see, not only our decision is to take, but our development is to learn. We learn of Him. He's meek and lowly in heart, the Lord Jesus Christ is. He describes Himself as being that way. And He is that way, is He not? He really is. And notice last, He says, our decision is to find, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's our discovery. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we take His yoke upon us, we develop, we learn from Him that He's lowly and meek, and then our discovery is to find that we have rest. Rest in our souls when we follow Christ, when we live for Him. We're speaking about here, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. Let the mind of Christ be in us. Like in Philippians chapter 2. We'll turn back there now and find out what more He's talking about here. Let the mind of Christ be in you. What is His mind? He was humbled. He was humble. And that's what we're to learn of him. To be humble. To be humble. Christ was humble. And we're to be like Christ. We're to be humble also. Notice also, we must walk in the same spirit and the same steps with the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself. We must walk in his steps. And as we walk in his steps, we see, let the mind of Christ be, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As he humbled himself, first of all, to suffer and to die for my sins. He humbled himself to suffer and to die for your sins. That's why he came and died. He humbled himself to do that. He also humbled himself to justify God, the Father, to justify him. Because he was to do the Father's will. He wanted to do what God the Father wanted him to do. He humbled himself to suffer and to die. He humbled himself to satisfy God. He humbled himself to pay the price for redemption. He paid my sin debt, folks. He paid your sin debt. He did it by humbling himself. By humbling himself. That's the only way he could do it. He humbled himself to pay my sin debt. He humbled himself to set an example for me and for you, that we might follow in his steps. We might follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've seen that course sometimes. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have we really? Have we decided to follow Jesus in humbleness with the mind of Christ? Christ's mind. He was humbled when he came to this world. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. God says, if my people, which are called my name, shall humble themselves. How do we do that? We have to follow Christ, our example. Christ, our example. We can't look at one another. We can't look at the world. But we need to look at Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. What he's done for us. We see the two natures of Christ. Christ has two natures, the divine nature, first of all. Look at verse number 6. Philippians 2, verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We see here his nature. He was in the image of the invisible God. He was the image of the invisible God, we see here. He was the brightness of his glory, the glory of God. The express image of his person, Jesus Christ was, when he was here. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says, do not think himself guilty of what didn't belong to him. Remember now, he left glory to come to earth. He left glory to come to earth. Therefore, he did not think himself guilty of what did not belong to him. He humbled himself. He laid aside the majesty of his former appearance while on earth. He took upon himself flesh and became a man. Man. He humbled himself, folks, for you and I. Not only his divine nature, but his human nature. Look at verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The Bible says there was no comeliness about Jesus. He wasn't an attractive person. He was just a man. He was just a man. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in the fashion of a man. When he was in the midst of people, he just blended in with everybody else. You know, there wasn't anything extraordinary about him, the way he looked, or nothing. He just was a man. He was just a man. We also see he assumed human nature. He emptied himself of all the honors and glories from the world in which he came. He emptied himself. He humbled himself for you and for me. He was in all things like to us. His human nature. As far as looking at him, you couldn't tell him from nobody else who he was. He was just a man. He was just a man. In the flesh. But notice also, verse number 8, his humiliation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The form of a servant, he humbled himself. Okay? He was not only God's servant, He also was man's servant, also, when he came. He came to serve man. He was a servant from the time he left glory. When he was born, he became a servant. He became a servant until he died and went back to heaven. He came to minister to us, to mankind. He came to help people out while he was here. That's why he came. He was also among them as one who serveth, no matter where he went. He was always serving people, always doing something for somebody, always serving. He humbled himself. We're talking about God in the flesh, folks. Humbling himself and serving mankind. Serving the ones he created. My, what a love, folks. What a love that he will leave heaven and come down here and serve the people that he created on this earth. Serve us. Live for us. Do everything he could for us while he was here. His humiliation. His whole life was a life of humiliation. Poverty, disgrace. He had nothing while he was here. He was just a man while he was here. Humbling himself. He had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a home on this earth. This earth was not his home. Praise God, this earth is not going to be our home much longer, is it? God's going to get us out of here. Amen? He lived from many times what people gave him. Alms, donations, while he was here. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah. Very familiar verses. Isaiah 53. And verse number 3. The Bible says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We see the lowliness of his humiliation was the death on the cross. The death on the cross when he died. He became obedient to death, even the death of Christ. Being on a cross is cursed. The cross is a cursed place. It's cursed. It's shameful. And it's full of pain. But yet he went there for you and I. He went there for you and I. He not only suffered, but he did it voluntarily, folks. He did it voluntarily for you and for me. Notice the manner of dying. Look in Isaiah 53, where you are. Look at verse number 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. The manner of his dying. All the circumstances were possible. Can I give you a little picture? This is my thinking. This is not, quote, biblical. But I can see Jesus walking up the hill to Calvary. Okay? He's been beaten. He's tired. He's humiliated. He's everything that any man could ever be, or humiliated. He walks up that hill to Calvary. Roman soldiers behind him, no doubt. He gets there and he sees an old tree laying on the ground. And that tree was made a cross. Let me say, I don't believe this tree was plain as we know it today. I mean smooth, you know. This was an old tree, bark on it, no doubt. On this part and this part. It was laying on the ground there. You hear the Roman soldier behind him. He walks up that hill and he sees that old cross laying on that ground. And I believe Jesus himself, no doubt, he willfully went over there and laid himself on that cross, Brother Sam. He laid himself on that cross. And those Roman soldiers come over there and they stretched out this arm and they took that big nail, that big hammer, and they drove that nail through that hammer and put it to the cross. Did the same thing. They pulled him over here and did the same thing. Nailed him to the cross. But we're talking about humiliation. We're talking about humbling ourselves. Look what Jesus did for us. nailed it there, nailed it here. Then he put his feet on the cross. And this was a rough cross. No doubt splinters already in his body because he was hanging there. They nailed his feet to the cross. There he is laying on the cross. Now these Roman soldiers take this cross and they pick it up. And they walk over here to where that big hole is. And they don't just let it go down easy. They just poof, drop it in that hole. And when he dropped that cross in that hole where Jesus was hanging upon, when that cross hit that bottom, it stopped just like that. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever failed and stopped, you know what it is to be shook up. 3 years ago, I fell off a ladder 10 foot from the ground, out in the air on the ground. And when I hit the ground, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something, I thought everything in me come loose. I said, my heart's gone, my stomach's gone, my kidney's gone, everything's gone, because it was such a blow. But that was nothing compared to what Jesus did when that cross was put in that ground. He humbled himself for you and for me. He was willing to die for you and I. My, what a Savior, folks. My, what a Savior. The body nailed on the cross, hanging there, and all his weight on the cross, he is exposed as a spectacle to the public. Everybody sees what's going on in his life, how he died. Humbleness. Nobody is ever humbled like Jesus did. He's our example. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves first, what's he going to do? Then he says what? Number one, I will what? I'll hear from heaven. Number two, I'll forgive their sins. Number three, I'll heal their land. Do you believe that? I believe that. Humbling ourselves. Jesus is our example, folks. Humbling ourselves is very, very important in our lives. Our loveliest crown that we could get in this world is not gold and not precious stones. Our loveliest crown that we can receive in this world is that of humility. Humility. Being humble before God. Humble before one another. You know. May the flow of humility flow in us and through us as church members until Jesus comes. There'll be unity. There'll be, you know, Christ-likeness in our lives. Humility is very, very important. Again, the first condition, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. Then God said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. Now, why did he put that first? You figure it out. You study it out. Why did he put humble ourselves first? The sacrifices of God are what? Broken spirit. A broken spirit. Brokenness. Brokenness. I have observed, and you have too in my life, and you will have too probably, what it is to be broken. We've all been broken sometime in our life. What does broken create in us? Humbleness. 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 Jesus is my example. He's your example. Do I want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus? We say, yes, I do. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we do, I'll say this to myself, first of all, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something if I do. It's going to cost all of us something. May the Lord help us and enable us to pay the price, whatever it is. I would like to see our nation turn back to God. I'd like to see revival. I really would. You go out and talk to people about the Lord. We went in this past week. Knocked on this door. This lady rolled up to the door, opened the door. She was like on one of these things you transport yourself, a cart thing, but it's like a bed, a little miniature bed. She rolled up there and opened the door, and we talked to her through the door. She'd been through two, I think, aneurysms. God spared her twice. He didn't even talk with her. She says, I'm an ex-quote religion. I don't want nothing to do with God or nothing to do with the church. What do you do? Say, I'll pray for you. That's all you can do. There's multitudes of people out there just like that. It's going to take the humbleness, God humbling us to be able to reach people like that. Reach people like that. God help us, folks. We need help. But we got help. We got God on our side. We got His Word. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus, our example. Lord, would you please help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be, God, that our nation may turn back to God. Bless now the service about to go into. Be with our pastor. Be with the singing. Lord, may all this done honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.